At last, my drunken associate descended into full retard, barking out instructions to our poor, harried driver. Instructions impossible to fulfill. Instructions that would have required wings upon our bus. He looks at me. I don't want to dice with death at 0.3 miles per hour. Courage, friend, we're on our way. We're there within the hour. For at the crossroads, all the horses suddenly turned left, as did our splendid orchestration, leaving us bereft. Indignant at my friend's crass outburst, our ensemble Stella did choose instead this funeral of some anonymous fella. Without guitars, without a flute, without even a cello. Now drunkenly we close this drunken road song a cappella. A cappella. And soon our way did wind and wend. First yon we went, then hither, down to the bridge at Curraduff, across the Finglas River. Then slid we down the greasy incline into Stout Not Glass, where cafes, restaurants and pubs do sprout with utmost class. Now there's a story that they tell of the railway tavern, and a song that they sing about the junction, about a slap-up meal gone wrong at Ash's bar and restaurant that spilled over to a local council function. But in my inebriation now, the storyline escapes me, for the whiskey, beer and cognac now are mixed. And the councillor's name is Cloudy. And the junction steam is hazy. For the tune itself, I think, was never fixed.
On the road to Tralee, what do you see? What do you see? On the road to Tralee, what do you see? Bum bum. No spirits, no beer, all the good stuff has gone. Down our necks in a cavalier rush. Bum bum. So we're lucky this three skinner's easy to hide. Tell those biddies it's just burning bush. Bum bum. As we enter the outskirts of lovely Tralee, my heart now belongs to this bus. Bum bum, back to Dingle hungover. Tomorrow we'll wend in a neck brace, a sling and a trust. Bum bum, and our eyes will be gouged, and our cheeks will be rouged, and our hair will stand cocker to style. Bum bum, as we cross River Lee over Glenarville Bridge, let's punish this last quarter mile. Bum bum.
Now you're hiding upstairs. That's Tribe, a song called Joyride from their album Abort. And before that, I cut that off dramatically. Before that was Julian Cope from his new album, Drunken Songs. Thanks to Brian Turner. You listen to The Brian Turner Show here at WFMU. It's a great show. Listen next week, Tuesday, 3 to 6 p.m. Coming up next is Sportsy Talk. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County. We're at 91.9 FM and all over the world. You can hear us online at WFMU.org. Get your Lenny Dykstra questions ready. Bullpen Betty is here. I am here. Welcome to Sportsy Talk after the music. Gang of Four, I Love a Man in a Uniform. It's a request by Betty. Bullpen Betty's here. Lenny Dykstra, baseball legend, is here. And I am here. I'm Jim the Poet. Betty, hello.
Hi, how are you, Jim?
Mr. Dykstra, welcome to Sportsy Talk.
Great to be here on the 4th of July.
It is America's holiday, and you embody so many of what makes the 4th of July a great holiday. Grit, determination.
Freedom. Different kind of freedom. I mean, I've had freedom like different ways than others.
Isn't freedom just another way to say nothing Left to Lose?
No, it's called Freedom When You Get Put in a Cage. That's like 6x8 for 3 years.
201-209-9368. Come with your questions for Mr. Lenny Dykstra. I didn't realize you would come in second to Barry Bonds in the MVP race in 1993. I was looking that up. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, I should have won that.
I know. I mean, well, Barry is right. Such a bum.
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't about being a bum. It's just about what an MVP is. And so they finished last, and he hit, like, 46 home runs. Like, 10 of them mattered.
Right.
And you guys came in first, then went to the World Series.
Yeah, and I led the league in walks and at-bats, and I set the major league record, which still stands today for most plate appearances by a left-handed
hitter.
It
was like 700, and it was like, oh, my God, I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, like Ty Cobb, Lou Gehrig, sorry, go to your room, you know?
And all without juicing, right, Lenny?
Well, you know.
What?
All without juicing, like Barry Bonds.
Oh.
Did I say that?
Barry's probably listening.
I showed
sorry,
him
Barry.
It,
oh, yeah, I'm sure Barry listens to sports.
You showed
talk.
Barry how to do it?
Of course, bro.
Oh, okay.
I said it was a gold standard.
201-209-9368. You go to our website, WFMU.org. Click onto the boards. Your questions for Lenny Dykstra in the next hour. It's our special 4th of July celebration. With Mr. Lenny Dykstra, also known as Nails, which is a great baseball nickname. I don't think they build them like that anymore. The nicknames now are all like, you know, your name, A-Rod or T-Rod or something like that. You were embodied that nickname, I would say.
Yeah, actually, cool nickname. I mean, better than thumbtacks, you know. But, no, what's happening now is I think baseball, Milk and Cookies is sponsoring baseball, and the uniforms, they're going to change them to wear skirts next year, you know? Because it's so painful to watch these games, and these players play like, they're just like when we played, it was serious, and we played for real money, and like, if you talk to the other team, like, we're fighting. Like,
right.
Like, we're going to war against them. We had a motto, you know, we're going to go to their house, take their money, and do their women.
Right.
That was the way it was.
Well, that was the 86 Mets, right?
No,
that was the Phillies.
Phillies made 86 Mets look like school children.
Well, on the 86 Mets, I read that you were making $92,000 that year.
Minimum, whatever that was.
That's crazy. Can you imagine by today's standards? That's like
the league minimum is like $2 million now or something like that.
Mean, like, the bottom line is the owners got the money, which they obviously do. They're pretty smart people. Then they're going to pay. But the problem is they're paying players for what they did, and the players are all pretty much in their 30s, so they're straight downhill.
Right.
But again, if the owners got the money, all the power to the players. And for the public out there that thinks they can do better or they get mad because a player makes this much money, well, go try out. It's wide open. Spring training is open. You can go try out.
Right.
You can do it.
Jim, you're going to try out? I'll go try out.
You know, when I was 13, somebody threw me a curveball, and that was the end of my baseball career. Oh, my God, what was that? How is that even possible?
They literally threw you a curveball.
Yeah, I've had a few curveballs thrown at me, too.
Yeah, but you were one of the best, and this is before everybody got into the big statistics and stuff like that. Your on-base percentage is insane. It's like your career on-base percentage is like 375 or something like that. It was a couple years where your on-base percentage was over 400. You're one of the best eyes in baseball during your career. But I've heard a story that you had the dirty business on all the umpires, and that's how you watched somebody. Is that what of you really course. Is that a true story?
Well, I mean, let's put it this way, it's true enough for the commissioner to call me the next day. Because look, when you're my size, okay, and remember something, if you're in the major leagues, that means you're one of 30 of the best players in the world. Because remember, there's only 30 teams, so if you're a center fielder, there's 30 jobs.
Right.
So it's not 30 jobs from New York or from California or Florida or the United States or Puerto Rico or Japan or China, meaning the world. So it's hard enough to get there. Then when you get there, you have to take someone's job.
Right.
So like,
you have to use everything that you have at your disposal.
What I'm saying is, all you parents out there want your kids to play Major League Baseball, make them pitchers.
Your left-handed pitchers are great.
Right.
You know, I mean, because you can't win without them. I mean,
I think it's the hardest job in the world.
It's the easiest job in the world, actually.
Because but center fielder is the hardest job in the world.
Well, think about it as a pitcher. Like, if you're healthy, you'll start in 35 games. You won't finish. If you go seven innings, that's great. You don't have to hit, which is the hardest part.
Right. Unless,
No, which is the hardest part. I mean,
National Leagues.
But it's a joke.
Yeah, but they rarely hit.
So you go seven innings, you give up three or four runs, and you play golf like the rest of the time. But we know without them, though, you can't win.
But do you feel that the pressure for a pitcher is more than anybody else on the team?
Well, no, and I'll tell you why. I mean, think about it. There's a reason why you get three strikes in baseball, because the game is extremely hard. Meaning, they've been putting people out in the same positions for hundreds of years, meaning you don't have to put a guy in left field and center field and right field, but they do that because over time, percentages show that balls go in those areas more often than not. So if you're the best offensive player in the league, you're going to be you're going to have a fail rate of 70%. That's if you're the best. Now, so that means a pitcher should be walking out to the mound like he's got a 15-inch you-know-what. And you know why I say that? Because he's a 70% favorite. Yeah. If he just plays right.
Right.
Why do you think Tom Glavine is in the Hall of Fame? I mean, I wanted to catch it and throw it back to him. But because he played right and he kept the chain going and didn't, like, walk a guy, and that's when the link breaks and everything goes haywire. So if you play right and you understand that you use the percentages, like Maddux is another guy. These are guys that played right and didn't malfunction. And whereas an offensive player is really about damage control. It's about eliminating big problems and cutting slumps down to over 8s to over 12s. That's the whole key, is you have to have an approach that you trust and believe in each time. Because if you don't, you try something new and it's all haywire, you know?
But you were fast and you were smart is the thing. I mean, that's an incredible mix that doesn't usually
And you
come
also
up.
Threw yourself into a center field wall, where now, like, Jacoby Ellsbury does that and he's out for seven weeks. Used to do it every day, right?
Yeah, I mean, we just used to out-drug it, you know? I mean, like, they can't take him no more. I mean, really, drugs are out of the game.
Is that... why do you think there's so many injuries? It seems like more than ever now.
I mean...
He's showing me a symbol. I'm not sure what it is.
Well, it's got like a triangle shape.
Oh, I know what it is.
It's
now.
A cat.
What I'm saying is like the bottom line is a lot of that to it, and on a serious note, has to do with guaranteed contracts. So when you have a guaranteed contract, okay, like your boy Leo DeRocher said, it's not women that cause players' problem. It's staying up all night chasing women that causes players' problems.
Who was the toughest pitcher that you had to face in your major league career, would you say?
Well, I mean, I faced him in an all-star game, luckily, only once. And I nicknamed him the creature. It was Randy Johnson.
Oh, wow. God.
I mean, like I'll show you. Like, I was hitting like this. I let off the game in 95. I'm like...
He's just looking up.
He's like 12 feet tall and weighed 9 pounds.
He's like 7 feet
tall.
Yeah,
left-handed. And, like, you have to start swinging when he throws it.
Right.
It's like... He's a creature.
I don't know if that was the All-Star game or Kruk turned his helmet around.
But Kruk's a good actor. Kruk, he plays that hillbilly role good.
He's funny.
He's actually one of the best pure hitters I played with.
Really?
Yeah, he could hit. He's the worst. I mean, he lockered next to me for 8 years, and what a pig, man. I mean, I used to pay the clubhouse guys to, like, clean his locker up. Yeah. I'm kind of OCD, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Somebody on the boards, Ralphine, wants to know what it was like playing in Shelby, North Carolina.
That's so
Do you remember?
Funny. It's so funny he said that. Wow. We called it Helby. but you know what? So... I had to make a decision, like, if I was going to turn pro or I had a full ride to Arizona State. And, by the way, in that outfield would have been me, Bonds, and Al Bumbry.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And not Al Bumbry, the little Odie McDowell.
Right.
But I was ready to play pro ball, so I remember I'm all excited, and I'm going to, like, the A-ball team, and, like, I land, and these two hillbillies pick me up, like, from the booster club. And I'm like...
In, like, a pickup truck or something?
So I'm like, wait a second, like, this is pro ball. I said, take me to the field. And they take me to this high school field, dude. No, no, we played on a high school
field. A high school field.
Like, with, no, I like said, wooden
I said, no, I'm a
bleachers.
Pro. I play for the Mets. I said, what is this? What? They said, oh, isn't it beautiful? Oh, it's so beautiful. You're going to love it here. So I walk in the clubhouse, and the manager's, like, miserable, smoking a cigarette. And I say, hi, sir. You know, I'm oh, he said, oh, yeah, I heard a new player's coming in. He looks at me. What are you, middle infielder? I like, oh, my God.
He didn't even know.
He didn't even know. But he found out.
quickly.
But anyway, Shelby, I think I had a few Father's Day calls from there, actually.
Oh my God. Never mind on that.
Well, you were friends with Billy Bean in Double A.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Billy Bean were great friends, and he actually kind of tailored that Moneyball book after me.
Well, yeah, because you were like one of the maybe original, you know,
yeah.
Moneyball.
Well, what happened was Bean in 1993 in World Series, they all the Brascos, and he was just becoming the GM for Oakland. And he called me up and he wanted to have lunch. And, like, I would never do that before a World Series game. But for him, I said, yeah. So we sit down and I said, what's up? He says, you gave me the recipe. And I said, what? He said, you gave me the recipe. I now know how to win in the big leagues. He said, you set the tone and you were the first club that had four players walk 100 times in a season ever.
Right.
Now, Hollins was a little short of 100, but it was right there.
Right.
So, yeah, Billy Bean was also great to stand next to in a bar. Because, remember, like, I
just... He's handsome.
Well, I just need to bring him over. Because then I can close.
The art of the deal.
I sell dreams, bro.
This is what I've heard.
Well, wait.
Because you guys remember something. The promise of money is actually more powerful than the money.
Than the money.
Wow.
Well, that's like anything in life. But... It makes me think of, you do sell dreams because you sold the dream of the Nails poster that every girl had on their wall. I did not know about this poster. Like the Farrah Fawcett poster that my father had on the wall in the 70s. Do you know that one?
Yes, I do know that one.
So Nails was like the Farrah Fawcett
all
poster.
All natural, too.
So I want to know, though, what did they grease you up with? Was that...
No, I was all, I was all natural when I was with the Mets.
All natural.
I never took... Like you, you're rack natural, right?
Yes, I'm 100% natural.
Okay. So what I mean is... Like,
oh, wow.
No, what I mean is, like, I didn't take anything. I never even had a drug.
But were you... Did you have Vaseline? What did they...
It's just called youth, man. Youth.
It was... Youth.
It was youthful exuberance coming through.
You can't stop it. You can only hope to contain it.
So when I did a photo shoot, I tried to emulate the Nails stance.
Did you?
And
we need to get that photo.
I had a shirt on, but I couldn't. It didn't. It didn't look as good. You just had the natural thing, and he was standing on a bed of nails.
And you know who did that? The big bad dude, John Stearns. Remember?
Oh yeah.
He's a catcher.
Yeah.
What? It was his idea.
Who took the photo? Do you remember?
She remembers.
She remembers.
it's like what's her face who did the Jim Morrison photos. She remembered those
photos.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of get in streaks, you know. Like right now, I'm on an Uber run where I'm like, I've hit like five Uber drivers, you know. Just notches on the belt, you know.
201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368. Dial carefully. Bring your questions for Lenny Dykstra, historic Met, historic Philly, one of the great ball players of the 80s and 90s. All man, hitting machine, Lenny Dykstra.
So, as we know, I'm a Yankee fan. However, I was a Mets fan in the mid-80s, mostly because of my mother, who, the reason why my mother became a Mets fan is she wasn't even into baseball at all, accidentally was just flipping through the channels and saw Gary Carter make an amazing play.
Gary Carter, wow, what a man.
Yeah,
wow.
So I knew that you had a special place in your heart for Mr. Carter.
Yeah, I did.
And my mother, it was her favorite, and she loved him.
He was a terrific player.
He was, I got to lock her next to him for 6 years, and I saw a man who was hurt and beat up. He's towards the end of his career. Never take a drug. Never take anything. He's the kind of guy that you want your kid to grow up to be like. And that's why I have a whole, like, problem with this God thing. Like, we have all these... renegades on that team, yet he's the one that dies.
Dies early.
So,
that's
like, ridiculous. What kind of God is that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but again, I don't want to get into religion because I'm not qualified to speak about it, except I do make some people see God, if you know what I mean.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Lenny Dykstra. This is Sportsy Talk.
Well, hi, guys. This is Rooster.
Oh, hey, Rooster. What's going on?
Well, I just got a call from Scott, and he said, hey, you got to call the show because Lenny Dykstra's on. And, Lenny, you can hear me?
Oh, yeah, I hear you, bro.
Okay, well, Lenny, I'm an old Long Islander, so yeah. I know your name. My son is listening from prison.
Uh-huh.
I'm down in Florida. Well, I can't hear the radio station.
Yeah.
Rooster calls it all the time. He's one of our
people. It's a rough ride, but just tell him time will pass, you know, and
you can tell him he's listening now.
Oh, is he? Yeah, I know. What happens is
his name's
after you become like Benihana, meaning because you read, jerk off, read, meaning so then you start thinking, And instead of going backwards, like, I thought about what I was going to do when I got out and what I was going to, like what my goal in life was. And what you do is you realize how valuable and how precious time is when you're in a cage. So the bottom line is if I can make it back, he can make it back. So if I can give him some hope, I'm glad to do it because nobody went further down than I did. And I'm still above ground and fighting every day, you know?
Oh, well, welcome back.
All right, man. I wish your son all the luck in the world.
Thanks for the call, Rooster.
Thank you. You're welcome. And listen, you got Bullpen Betty there, don't you?
I do have Bullpen Betty here.
Hello, Rooster.
Hi, Bullpen Betty. Or is it just Betty?
It's Bullpen it's, Betty, it's but Betty one. For short. Or Bullpen.
Anyway, listen, Scott said you were looking for a Yankee story.
Yeah, sure. I'm always looking for a Yankee story. You got one?
I forget whether it was 1976 or 78, but it was the year that Chris Chambliss hit the home run that won the pennant from the Royals for the Yankees. Do you remember that game?
No, because I was about 5 years old, but...
Probably, yeah. And the news used that hit,
right?
The opening of their news program.
Oh, anyway,
I was there that night.
Oh wow, that's great. So, where did you grew up in Long Island?
Yes.
What are we doing here? Are we gonna like go back to like high school? And,
I mean, you should go back to high school.
Well, I was teaching it back at that time when. Win that game.
You know, I had to service one of my high school teachers to get it to pass. I actually, my drama teacher, her name was...
Drama teacher!
You seem like you have a penchant for drama.
Her name was Mrs. Doll, and like...
Was she a doll?
When you're 18, like, you know, like, she she's a lady, you know?
Yeah.
So she told me she wanted to help me after class, and she literally used me.
Do we need to call the authorities, or is the
statute of limitations?
No, it's okay.
Thanks for the call, Rooster. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
201-209-9368. That's 201-209-9368.
I wonder if Mrs. Dahl is still above.
We should find Mrs. Dahl.
What city was that?
Well, it doesn't matter. She's probably in the ground. I mean, like, I was 18.
How old was she?
She was like 32.
Well, she could still be alive.
I don't know, but...
I mean...
You don't want to go there, though.
Someone wants me to ask you about... Corey says, ask him about farting at priests.
I don't fart, number one.
Number two. I wouldn't think you did.
Yeah, I'm a clean freak. I'm OCD. I can't... like, someone has bad breath. I say, you see the door? You turn the handle to the right. You need to follow the signs that say exit.
I don't even get that question.
Meaning, what I'm trying to say is farting and all that stuff. Like, if a girl says, I got to go pee... Out you go.
That's it. Gone.
You have
forget
to go to the bathroom. Can you say that? Like,
an adult?
I have a problem like with anybody comes into my place and has to go like number two,
you know,
they're getting executed.
That's it, right?
They're executed. Forget it. On the spot.
Wait, so then I have a question. Why were you such a fan of chewing tobacco? You didn't find that...
It's all for the show, man.
Really? Yeah, well, because it used to be huge in the game, and now it's been banned
gum.
From almost every place.
Double bubble bubble gum.
Look, I learned early on I was in the business of putting people in seats.
Right.
And so if I grabbed my you-know-what or if I did whatever I did, it's all part of the show, man. And like,
that's the persona too. That was like, that
show is still going on.
If you still have the tobacco coming out of your mouth, then it's intimidating to the other.
Yeah, like Andy Van Slyke, what I used to do with him, like
Andy Van Slyke.
You know, because he screwed me out of the Gold Glove like 4 years in a row because he kept winning.
He was.
So I would leave, like I would, you know, chew and I'd spit my like wad out in center field, like so he'd have 8 wads. It's like landmines out there for him.
Slipping on your cud.
But you ended up in way more World Series than he. I don't even think the Pittsburgh never even made the World Series with Andy Van Slyke.
Maybe
Bonza
once,
had some great.
But he's a good guy. I don't know. He's he was smooth. Everything I did was kind of unorthodox. But the thing I'm most proud of is that I was able to win in New York and Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So to play in the two best sports cities. Mm-hmm. Like,
isn't that those are some of the hardest places to play, and a lot of people just wilt under the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and some people like you just take to it like
flourish.
It's... Flourish. Yeah, like this, like you become an even bigger player because...
It's like Viagra now, man. Like, you just get blood flow, you know?
So what about the Mets these days? I've been watching your posts on Facebook, all the advice you're trying to give
them.
You
have good advice for the Mets?
Yeah, fire Terry Collins. I mean... But
I would have fired him a long time ago, man.
Yeah, of course. You know, I knew Terry Collins was not the guy when I asked. Remember, he was with a great Houston team when he had Bijou,
right.
Bagwell.
Right, right, right.
And I asked him, like, what's he like? And they said, bad.
He's a jerk. You know, he's always had a bad...
He's a push button. He's a pipeline. And the players know who the pipelines are, meaning pipeline, like, to the front office.
Right.
So then he goes to the Angels. He has great players. Edmonds.
Terrific player. Edmonds is a great player.
But he can't win.
Yeah, no, that's
and
weird.
And they're Mets, and like, so what I said, the funniest story about Collins is, you know, we had a reunion a year ago, or whatever, 2 years ago, and so he went and shook everyone's hand, we're standing around the outfield, and I grabbed his hand, and I held it hard, and I said, you better be lucky you got good pitching.
What do you think about all the Mets pitchers with their long, flowing hair? As a man who's always had short hair, is that a thing to you?
Well, I mean, I'm more into... are you talking about shaving or
no? They're you know they have like their long flowing golden
like,
locks.
Like DeGrom and
right.
Thor.
I don't look guys. I thought you were talking about like, girls.
No, God. No,
I'm
but
wondering
well,
why girls want to look like 10-year-olds all the time. What happened? Like what's this world turning into?
But it's not place. Baseball has changed and the world has changed because you to me represent when I was coming up watching baseball and those baseball players are bigger than life.
Right.
You know, like my favorite player is Wade Boggs or something like that. I mean, yeah. Guys who just got hits, got on base all the time.
Yeah, Wade Boggs had a lot of everything. You know?
He had a lot. Yeah.
Well, he got a lot of.
He got a lot of the other things.
A little road action, too. but, hey, because you know why, though? He believed that she was lucky. Like, you get real, like, superstitious in baseball.
Oh, yeah. Well, he ate chicken before every game.
Right.
Because remember, like, people don't understand how hard. It is because every night you either, as an offensive player, you either fail or succeed. There's no middle, meaning, and so obviously you're going to fail more than succeed. So 70% of the time you're going to make a right turn. You have to walk down the dugout, and your teammates, like, they don't say nothing to you because you made it out. Well, they're going to say, good job. Mm-hmm. You're going to fight them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you made it out.
Yeah.
So you get treated like a Russian spy. And then you go down, and you got to put your helmet in the rack, and the coach is like, look, there he is. That's him. So you feel like a raisin. Because what are people going to say? You made an out.
Right.
So there's no middle. It's all, and then you get a hit, everyone's high-fiving.
Everyone's
you.
Going crazy, yeah.
But so where I'm going with that is you have to deal with that every night, 3 or 4 or 5
that's
times a game.
Exhausting,
right.
I mean.
It's exhausting. That's why drugs, man. Like drugs. Like amphetamines.
Well,
like,
the greenies and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, but now we're getting into areas where me and the Hall of Fame committee had it out. I go down there and sign autographs every year, and so I saw them with their badges, and I said, I want to know how the three best players in the history of baseball aren't in the Hall of Fame.
Who are those three?
Well, Pete Rose, Bonds, Clemens.
Bonds, Clemens, and
Pete Rose.
Pete Rose, you know.
You don't think Pete Rose is one of the best?
Well, he's for sure. I mean, what he did is crazy.
What about A-Rod? What do you think about?
I don't know. I don't know too well. He's got some hot gas right now, I think.
Yeah.
But
in terms of being in the Hall of Fame.
No, he won't be it. But I got my first big league hit in Cincinnati, and Pete was still a player coach. And it was so funny because when I got to first, he said, "Congratulations, kid. You only got 4,000 to go to catch me."
Well, I always thought your game was a lot like Pete Rose. All hustle,
small
all
ball.
Guts, like all head first, sliding, crazy, yeah. Going into the wall.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, look, Pete Rose is was, look, what he did, I said to him, I said, "How the hell did you get 20 hits? I mean, 200 hits, 20 years in a row."
Man.
Right.
He said, "Try 23. No, dude, that's crazy. Meaning my best season, I got like...
He did that 20 times.
23 times.
Jeez.
That's like mind-boggling. But see, the problem is they blame Bart Giamatti, his death, they blame on Pete Rose. So there's a pact made.
That's why it's never going to happen.
They'll never get in there. Now, Clemens will get in the Hall of Fame.
Bonds, those guys are all getting in now because they... They're changing their mind about like the generation younger than me is saying like, well, we don't care. These guys are obviously some of the best players in the world.
Well, and what's the threshold? See, what I want to know from when I was there is, okay, what makes somebody bad enough where they don't get in the Hall of Fame? So amphetamines are okay. I said because they took them in the 70s, and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. I said, amphetamines help more than steroids because they.
No, you see how the game mm-hmm. changed dramatically when they got rid of that kind of stuff rather than the steroids.
Well, the story on that, the funny thing on that is the first year because drug testing started real slow and built up. Like out of the 700 players, 400 of them like filled out forms saying they had ADD.
Right, Ritalin.
Oh, so they had to take the drugs, right?
Yeah, but then they tightened it up. So drugs are definitely out of baseball.
Wow, caller, you're on the air. This is Sportsy Talk with Lenny Dykstra.
Hi, this is listener Mike from South Carolina.
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Hey, happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you. You have a question for Betty and Lenny Dykstra?
I live there, too, South Carolina.
Yes, I did. Okay, so originally this was just for Betty, but since Lenny is there and he used to play for the Phillies and my parents are from Philly, go okay. Philly, I had this question I've been bouncing around. Do you think baseball will ever be intergender, like, you know, like men and women?
Oh,
do you think
women playing.
That?
Well, you know, they've started a little bit at the Little League, right, with some female pitchers and stuff. I mean...
They have a knuckleballer in the one of the collegiate leagues in the West Coast. We're trying to get her on the air at some point.
I feel like if you can try out and make the team, what do you think? Mr. Dykstra,
you think a lady can be in the Major League Baseball?
I wouldn't even. I'm not even comment on.
I don't know.
I don't end up servicing her anyway. You're not supposed to service your own teammates. I don't think.
Because I figured if they could have like women's MMA, I mean, surely like you know women and men could certainly play.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
or could there be a Major League Baseball for women?
What happened to the day when they used to cook, clean, and, like, wait home for their husband? Anyway,
that's when husbands made more money than women, which I don't see very happy.
Women make more money than me.
I love South Carolina, man. I used to. I think I was in Charleston.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of success there. Yeah, no, I like both North and South Carolina.
So Jim, you know how South Carolina has the Gamecocks, right?
I do know that.
So
huge Cox fan.
Wait, hold on. I got it. Wait, hold on, because I can't be my thought. I got the best like sign ever held up at a football game, and they were playing the USC was playing in South Carolina.
Oh God!
And they held up a sign and it said, "No Trojans can hold our cocks." It was the best I've ever seen. Because, you know, the Gamecocks, by the way, so that's not a beep. That's the name of the team.
That's totally legitimate.
I mean, like, that was the best. So, sorry to interrupt, but like
you had to tell that
story.
Because
I'm kind of slow.
It's fine. I live in South Carolina. I've consigned myself to always hearing that joke.
Have you heard that before?
No. Just like that, this line of joke we're doing.
Okay, so are you barbecuing, bro? What do you got?
Yeah, what do you got going on for the 4th?
We already had a cookout. We had steak. We had corn.
Is there a time difference?
No, they're in the same hour as us. here in Jersey City. Very exciting. Cool and the Gang's going to be playing at Exchange Place, as hopefully right as we're leaving. So we'll check that out.
There you go. I was going to say, in Savannah, Georgia, their home team is the Savannah Bananas.
Savannah, I do like the Savannah Bananas very much.
Oh my God.
They like changed the name of that team last year or something like that, and I liked them on Facebook, so I see every goofy video that they make. Well, thanks so much for the call.
Oh, have a good one.
That means care, keep it safe, bro.
Thanks for the call.
So, I don't know if you know this, Jim.
What I do,
but. Is it true, Lenny Dykstra, that your son is married to Meadow from The Sopranos?
He is, yeah.
Jamie Lee Sigler.
Lynn Sigler.
Yeah, and I have a grandson with him, and she's pregnant again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and congratulations.
I give my son, like so much credit. He's such a great kid.
You know, and he has a baseball name.
Well, he retired because to take care of Jamie. You know, she now
she has MS or something like that, yeah.
It's a horrible thing. I mean... It's like impending doom, you know, there's no cure. And
my cousin has MS.
So sad.
It's terrible.
It's really bad. For some people, it's worse than others,
yeah.
too.
So my son, like, he's like a way better father and husband than I could ever dream about being, you know. And that's probably credit to his mother. But I helped a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, and I have another son that plays
he's in the St. Louis.
Right.
He's in the Cardinals
organization.
He's kind of
buried down there, and... I told him that you have to do something extraordinary, which is a great word because like it's hard for me to say.
Extraordinary, not
it's
just ordinary,
word.
But more than ordinary.
No, because they have new teeth coming, by the way.
Oh, cool!
There's a dentist in South Dakota, like he's awesome.
Like a really famous South Dakota dentist.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but you wake up, you're still in South Dakota.
I would think.
So like he's giving me all new implants. His name's Dr. Lou George. And
how did you find him in South Dakota?
No, he hunted me down.
Oh,
he wanted to work with you.
Well, you know, he's a fan, and I mean, he cost so like he had 32 employees, all women. I said, I like how you roll, bro.
On the boards, there's a question from Ken from Hyde Park says, "What was your favorite season, Lenny? What year did you have the most fun out there as a player?"
Well, I mean, that's a stifling question because, like, on the field, I mean, like, in 86, it doesn't get better.
Right. Mm-hmm. You're
in a home run, like,
World
on
Series.
A Saturday, like, and your team's waiting for you at home plate.
What was playoffs. That, game three?
Yeah, up Dave Smith. And so, you know, that whole 86 season was magical. But so was 93, you know. We flipped that city upside down in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, that team hadn't been great since, you know.
Yeah, we were last of first, you know.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I consider myself a very fortunate and blessed man to play in front of the two cities where they're the most knowledgeable and best sports fans because they understand how the game works. Like, they'll cheer if a guy's on second and you hit the ball to the right side and get the guy over.
Mm-hmm.
They get it. You see, in L.A., like, it's like la-la land, dude. It's like the land of the great pretenders. I mean, like, I live there, but I moved. I mean, that's why I call it Holly Weird, you know? And but that's a whole other story because Davey Johnson messed up, like, a whole, like, 10 years for the Mets by making or not making a pitching move in Game 4 when... Socha hit in 88 playoffs, and Socha hit a two-run homer off Gooden to basically end it for us, you know?
Well, I thought that Mets team was going to be great for a generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it was, you know...
Well, 88 was close, right?
Well, very close.
Well, no, we dominated.
They should have won that.
My mother cried
a
lot.
Yeah, but then Davey had some weird... Well, Davey was best friends with Jack, you know, as in Daniels.
Him and Jack
were tight.
Right.
Very, very tight. So, like, everyone says he was a player's manager. Well, of course. He's hung over every day. You never see him. Yeah. I mean, so, but, yeah, I think, I'll even take him over Terry Collins, who's like
No, know, I'm surprised that Terry Collins has been able
to hang
on
that long.
You
want to take his Xanax. Every time I see him, I want to take his Xanax.
What, I asked you a little bit about Joe Girardi. What's your perspective on his management style.
I don't know about his management style, but me and him used to go at it all the time because he worked the umpires. He was mm-hmm. very good at. So I can see why he's a good manager. Mm-hmm. You know, he used to brown nose the umps all the time, and like, so we used to kind of like go at it. He couldn't hit water. He fell out of a boat though. But I mean, look at his career. You know,
no, he's had a, he was on good teams, and he's won a World Series. Or, you
yeah,
know.
I mean, he's and he's made a lot of money. You know,
oh yeah, definitely.
But I mean, how long has he been there now?
Almost 10 years.
Ten. Yeah. Yeah, almost he's 10 good years. On TV. Yeah. That's why the Yankees like him.
Is that what it is? He's good on
I
TV.
I think so.
I don't know. The bottom line is the Mets. Like, I don't know what the product that they're putting out there is not the product that the fans want to see. Mm. Like Backman. Like,
that's right, what that's what people right. wanted. Wally Backman to be the manager.
He would have won. Like, is it so bad to win? I mean, like, I don't get it. I mean, the whole, like in fact, what's even more baffling is for a family of four to go to a baseball game, it's like $1,000.
Oh yeah,
pretty much.
No, like a grand. So like I don't think the players do what I did. So when I played. Every night, as soon as the game would end, I would go in front of my locker and I would sit down for like 1 minute and I would say to myself, okay, if I were a fan, would I have paid money to watch me play? That's how I judge myself, you know?
Right.
And that, like, that answer was yes, every night except one time.
What was the one time?
Well, that's a funny story. At the end of my career, Fergusi was my manager, and he would give me Sundays off after night game Saturday. So you have a right. night game on Saturday. He'd always give me every Sunday off. We're playing in Florida, no dome, where you, like,
oh, wow.
To talk about, you can't
humidity,
breathe.
Right.
You can't breathe there.
In Dolphin Stadium or whatever.
So Saturday, I party and I'm out all night because I'm not playing Sunday. So I walk in and I see my name. I'm leading off. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I can't. There's not enough drugs.
No,
there's
no
nothing.
Way.
There's no way. So I'm trying to figure it out. I'm scrambling. I say, hold on. You always figure it out, Lenny. You got it. You got it. I got it. I'm going to get run. I'm going to throw it out of the game in the first inning. I got him again. So Eric Gregg is behind the plate. Big Eric Gregg. Guy throws a first pitch fastball right down the middle. I turn around. I start cussing at him. Tell him to have another cheeseburger. Just went crazy on him. And he said, Lenny, I already know it. Jimmy already told me. He said, if I'm going to be out here in this heat for 2.5 hours, you're going to be out here in this heat for 2.5 hours. See, Fergusi was kind of like me. He knew that was my plan, so he warned.
He already said something to the ump.
So I suffered through that
game
and literally almost died out there that day. I mean, like, I hit a double and I said, like, breathe. Okay, breathe. And it wasn't coming. Then he started panicking and, like then he started saying, like, I wonder if anybody's died after they hit a double. But anyway.
So that was your one game where you didn't feel like you gave your...
Well, because I wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you're doing, you know, Keith Richards off of Natural Racks, you know. I mean, it's hard to prepare.
It's hard to get ready for the game.
Keith Richards, by the way, code name for Blow.
Okay, yeah,
oh,
I think I got that confirmation.
Right.
Yeah,
because Keith Richards looks like a line of Blow.
Well, he's still alive, so.
Yeah, well, he's like,
have you
80.
Seen?
They're
going
to Austin Power him. They want to do
that. Cryogenically frozen.
See how he, like,
they got to figure out, yeah, why he's been.
Have you seen the is Keith Richards alive Twitter handle? So every day somebody, like, they post, like, if he's still alive.
I don't think he's ever going to die.
I mean, he's
no.
He's cool touring. Without trying to be cool.
Yeah, he's the epitome. He's the dictionary
like
definition.
Like the dude on the back of my book right here, man.
I know your book.
Oh,
we got to talk.
Book.
We got to get to the, Hello, Carl. You're on the air. This is Sportsy Talk with Lenny Dykstra. And I didn't quite catch that. Thank you for the call.
I think that was a language that was not invented
yet. Is that the are you awake or are you asleep guy? I didn't know if he would be calling in or not. We have some steady callers.
No problem.
201-209-9368. We got Lenny Dykstra and Bullpen Betty here. It's the 4th of July. I'm Jim the Poet. We're just having a good time talking about baseball.
Tell me Jim the Poet. What's the poet mean? I love
that. I was a poet before I was on the radio.
Poetry is very difficult, man.
I mean, that's why I'm not that good at
it. even if it's good, there's no market for it.
No, definitely. There's zero market for it. I thought it would get me babes, but I think I should have been a baseball player or something.
Poetry,
like that,
you know, like, that's how I am when I do oral. I give.
That's what like I've. This is what I've heard.
Poetry. It's like
this is what I've heard from Stern. Yes.
Yeah.
This is
oh like, right. Yes.
Oh, well, wow. There's a segment coming up in the next 2 weeks that'll blow your mind.
Okay.
On Stern.
Oh my. Oh, dude. I mean, like when they say you have to get permission like 10 times from the people, like
really?
Yeah. Because okay. So stay tuned, but. We can tee it up here and get into whatever you want to get into if you want.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. We have another 15 minutes
of
the show.
I have a picture of my book of my man, Straw Betty, Vulcan Betty. Read what it says in the book.
So it says,
"This is a
with my man, Straw.
Yeah, Daryl Straw.
A.K.A. Soul Pole.
Hung like a swamp mule, dude. Look at this. Look at Betty.
Do you still...
You see the hammer?
Yeah.
He's
showing me the tight white Mets uniform photo.
But he's the only player who had to have a tape to his leg.
And he has armadillos in his trousers, is what he's saying.
No, he couldn't run, dude. Like, they taped it to his leg.
The Angel Hernandez, umpire, is suing the league, Major League Baseball, because he says that he hasn't, since Joe Torre became the head of baseball's umpires, that they've passed him over for promotions and stuff to the World Series and stuff like that. Were there umpires that you knew were not very good umpires that, like, sort of every... You knew you were going to have a terrible night because the umpire was just... Because he's one of the most famous sort of umpires.
We already went over that, bro. Like, fear does a lot to a man. And so when you pay $500,000 and you have umpires followed, so... And
yeah, you had people following them around.
Oh yeah, I know who's gay. I mean, their blood is as red as ours. Some like to gamble, some like women, some like men, some whatever. So like strike. Wait.
So they.
Excuse me. What was the spread last night? Because see, what happens is fear does a lot to a man. So my strike zone went like this.
A much smaller strike zone.
And you walked. And you walked.
And that's
year.
How you got so many walks.
I led the league in walks the next few years. But
129 walks
yeah,
one
but,
season.
But, so check this out. I just want to tell you how crazy the numbers Bonds put up this 1 year is. Bonds 1 year walked 287 times.
Right, like, but half of them were like on
80
purpose.
Of them were intentional.
They used to walk
walks.
Them. They used to walk
little
with
league.
Faces loaded.
Dude,
I mean,
little league, you don't
right,
do that.
Right.
I mean, like. 280, and you know, if you take Bonds' first 10 years when he played in Pittsburgh, his stats are fifth best overall. I mean, look, the greatest player of all time, yes. The biggest, you know what, D-I-C-K of all time, yes. So, like, we used to always want to intend, like, pitch around him. I'd say, why don't we pitch around? Just drill him in the neck. Like,
ooh.
What are we doing? No, we cut through and clarify. We saved time,
right.
See, because we knew Mitch Williams was coming in, and when that happened,
wild thing,
the party was all my entourage that was waiting in my suite like became Mitch Williams haters because they knew he'd delay the party. You know, it was like a problem.
Well, now he's I see him on the ESPN.
He's a box of rocks, dude.
He's still got the haircut, too. Tell me about your book. What's the title of your book, Lenny, for people who want to buy it?
It's called Lenny Dykes, A Memoir of a Life on the Edge. New York Times bestseller.
Right. I mean, it's been out for a year. It's been a bestseller.
See, I got a quote from this guy.
A Stephen King quote.
That guy's pretty good.
What do you say?
He says, I can't read that, tough, straight, upsetting, and strangely beautiful. One of the best sports autobiographies I've ever read.
Strangely
wow.
beautiful.
From Stephen King.
Stephen King.
Of
Stephen
Shining,
King fame.
The Shining fame. Where? Oh, and Jack Nicholson even has a quote.
Jack Nicholson wrote
first
your
time,
book?
First time.
Wow.
As far as sports autobiographies go, what can I say? Nailed it.
Dude, look where I am. Look what it says down.
And it says Lenny Dykstra at the Hotel Ritz Paris, 1983.
Got trapped in a couple of French whorehouses, bro.
Are you strapped to the bed in that photo?
I'm tied up. That's called recovery.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah, like I couldn't get out of them either.
You were in a coma.
No, French whorehouses. Like next thing you know, you got an $1,800 bill for champagne. So don't. Anytime you guys go to Paris or France, don't do it.
Okay.
All right, Jim, you're going to avoid that?
I'm taking that note down.
Okay.
201-209-9368. We have a few more minutes with Lenny Dykstra if you have questions. Yeah, it's, we only go till 7 o'clock, and then Mac is coming in to fill in for more Coney Island. No, he's a big show. Everybody loves his show.
Okay, I'm just glad to be here.
Everybody on the board is like, Mac.
Yeah. What's he bringing to the party?
He plays things on he plays records and stuff. He plays old fashioned records and stuff.
Yeah,
like that. Really,
I noticed him. Wow, the place.
We got a lot of records.
It's so cool, this place. It has some kind of feeling in here.
Of people who love music.
I don't know, like cool. Like there's a.
Oh, thank you.
You feel like you're somewhere that's kind of cool. That's not trying to be cool, you know.
I think you're right. I mean, a lot of cool. I mean, I'm always trying to be cool.
I mean, it's Jersey City. We're in Jersey City, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's kind of like Hoboken. Hoboken kind of like blew up.
Right. Yeah, Hoboken blew up, and now Jersey City's kind of blew up. But now Dwight Gooden, I think, lives here.
Yeah, I talked to him today, actually.
You did. I was going to ask you, do you talk to him or Strawberry?
I talked to, Strawberry. I'm still getting over the traumatization of showering with him for 6 years. No, I had to get therapy for 2 years. No, dude, I feel like a 2-year-old.
Wow.
No, I mean...
But wait, what did you talk to Doc about today?
We talk about everything. Doc and I are close.
Did you tell him you're coming to Jersey City?
No. We were talking about a house. I'm helping him. I do real estate because it's real. And so, it's the word real. I'm a simple man, actually.
Real is the first word in the phrase
yes,
real estate.
But it's a real thing.
Simple man, though. Like I tell my girls, don't tell me to pull your hair. Don't tell me to choke you. You put your finger near my butt, I'll break it off. Okay?
It's
normal.
Very straightforward.
Normal.
Missionary.
Normal.
Okay.
You're just an old-fashioned boy, really, with American values.
I'm just, look.
See, baseball, and it's America.
It is America.
It is. And by the way, today is Freedom Day.
Yeah.
Happy 4th of July. And red, white, and blue. And every day above ground is a good day, man.
So far.
No, I'm serious. Because what happens is until you get put in a situation where time is like you have so much time, you realize how precious time really is. Because you remember, you're talking to a guy that never read a book and never jerked off before he went to prison.
Can you say that?
Probably.
That's not bad. No, but I read my first book there.
I meant the other thing, not book.
Well, but I read my first book there, and then I actually not only did that, but I became like Benihana, like I said to the other dude. I mean, I could...
Right.
But then what?
Betty, you had some more questions for Lenny, didn't you?
No, I think I went through all of my questions, though.
I thought she had a bigger, she had a whole post-it note.
I know,
Betty's nervous, man.
I am a little nervous.
She's in awe. We've been trying to get Lenny for a couple of weeks, and then it happened, and I'm so glad.
Huge coup. Have you ever had a major league baseball player up in here?
This is the only one.
Right.
Well, that's cool, because I said, she wanted it on the phone, and I said,
But he demanded he come in person.
Well, it's people that have phone sex. Who would want to do that? I'm not into it.
I mean, who?
I do things in person. I look someone in the eyes,
Well, it's always better.
It's always better.
We didn't know you were in New Jersey or that you'd want to come in. So thank you for offering.
I'm where I need to be, when I need to be. Just tell me when.
What would you say your favorite home run of your entire career? Was it one of the ones in the World Series or one of the ones in the regular season?
Well, that's a great question, because there's a couple answers. My favorite home run, obviously, is when I hit the home run in game 3 with your team. When you're coming around third on a Saturday and your team's waiting for you at home plate, that's indescribable.
Yeah, it's a great shot,
But the most important home run I hit was in game 3.
Of the World Series.
Right, off Oil Can Boy.
That changed the whole complexion of that
Oil
series.
Can Boy.
Yeah, because I had to... take the momentum. Remember, we lost the first two, and no team, maybe Kansas City, had ever come back.
Right.
Right, and remember, Boston was good.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, I always thought the Mets were better than
So, I literally, for one of the few times, said to myself, I got to try to hit a home run here and put a crooked number up to, change the momentum. Usually when you do that, you pop up or hit a ground ball.
Right.
But, I just connected, and I took the can man to the bridge and right, And we got 2 out of 3, and then we know what happened from there.
My mother, I think I've said this before, she, when asked what her favorite, her best day of her life was, she would say Game 6.
Really?
Yes.
The best day of my life.
The best day of my mother's life was Game 6.
Well, you know who takes full blame for that, though, is John McNamara.
The coach. He didn't take out Bill Buckner.
Exactly. So Buckner, you know, was at the end of his career. Well, he got divorced and everything else.
The whole world hated him.
No, but what happened was is he wanted him to be on the field to win the World Series. He was
a great guy, and they wanted him on the seat.
But see, that's an example of when you bring personal into business. That's business. So he brought feelings in there, and look what happened. The baseball gods made him
baseball
pay.
Would have been
baseball gods.
Totally different. I was at the game. They finally brought him back in the opening day 2008 when the Red Sox had won 2 World Series. Buckner came back and threw out the first pitch, and it was a very emotional moment because I think Red Sox fans really did like him and admire him.
He had a great career, 20-year career.
He came back after that. He still played for the Red Sox, and I mean, he's a terrific player. It's just like a...
But by the way, the thing is, remember, the Steamer was on the mound, your boy.
Right.
Our boy...
Calvin Schiraldi.
No, Bob Steamer. The chubby dude, the pitcher.
Not Calvin Schiraldi.
No, the relief pitcher. They call him the Steamer. He's the one that pitched.
Bob Stanley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would have not got. He wouldn't have got over there anyway. They wouldn't have got.
No, those guys melted down.
No, but they wouldn't have got him anyway because you know Mookie would have beat him to the bag.
Mookie would have beat him to the bag.
Yeah, right. but I don't know if he scores though. See, because remember the wild pitch is what scored him.
It was Ray Knight coming down from third base.
Yeah. But it was the Mookster.
Mookster gets there.
Mook was cool, man. Me and Mook got along good.
He was a great player, and I think
loved Mookie.
He and Billy Buckner were sort of tied together. He used to do a lot of stuff, together.
My man Mook had some bad fumes, though, you know? Like, in between pitching changes, like, it was, like, rough, man. I mean, like, but great dude, trust me. George Foster, on the other hand, he wouldn't talk. Like
Glenn says, that was the only error Buckner made that year. I'll have to check that out.
The worst error of your life.
Well, I mean, it only takes one, you know.
Well, that was the biggest one ever. Hey, Mac is coming up.
Here he is.
Mac's filling in for Morricone Island. What can we expect, Mac, tonight from the
how you doing,
shaking Lenny?
I like the lid. I like the lid, bro.
I like yours, too. Want to trade?
We're trading hats.
I told him I liked his hat, too. Dexter's wearing a Puma hat.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Puma hat. I'm wearing a T-shirt.
He has khakis on.
He's ready for the 4th of July.
You know why? I don't give either what.
A hoot.
I mean, you know what? Because every day above ground, remember,
is a good day.
Right.
That's a good name for
a... So people, like, think about it. Like, everybody's complaining. I can't take these whining people crying like they're miserable. What are they miserable? Go to a hospital, man. Go visit. See kids that are sick.
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is, like, we're lucky to be where we're at today in this country. I'm not trying to get sentimental or talk like all this, but like we're in the best country in the world, you know? And for that, I'm grateful. But when I was in the cooler, like I said, this is the worst country in the world. I'm moving to like Europe and, you know, you have all these plans because remember, you have a lot of time because
you got a lot of time to think.
You can only do so much Benihana.
We're out of time, unfortunately. Yeah. Big thank you for Lenny Dykstra being here today.
Hey, awesome, man. I had fun. It went so fast.
It was an honor to have you. I think we got some good stuff. Thanks to everybody on the boards who was asking questions or yelling at me or whatever you're doing on the boards.
Terrific. It went so fast.
Thanks again. It was a real honor. Bullpen Betty, you pulled it off.
She did. And by the way,
happy 4th of July.
Hey, Bullpen Betty's a stud. She called me. No, she stayed on me. She made sure I was going to show up. And I said,
she is a pro.
I'm a professional nagger, and it paid off.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and Rockin' County. We're at 91.9 FM, and all over the world, you can hear us online at WFMU.org. Mac is next. Have a great 4th of July. Thanks, and see you next week.
Bye.
about a place somewhere up in New York way.
Excuse me, sir, is this the Delta House?
Sure. Come on in.
Oh, man. Here I am. It's not Marconi Island, folks. It's Macaroni Island is what you're getting tonight. That's right. It's a double shot of Mac. Now, here, doing the soundtrack program. Filling in for Devin tonight and bringing all sorts of LPs to the mix. And we started off there with a theme from Exodus, a very beautiful song that for some reason meant a lot to me as I was growing up. And I'm not even Jewish, but I just love the power of that theme. And of course, as much as I love the power of that theme, I love the power of Louie Louie. Both equally potent in their own way. Well, folks, I pulled out a lot of stuff from my collection tonight, And I'd like to thank Devin for allowing me to be here. And I'd like to thank you for indulging me, even as I miscue the second record, and just pick it up and throw it to the right spot in the true FMU style. I'm going to continue now with some... another wonderful soundtrack that I love, from the Umbrellas of Cherbourg. What a beautiful record. What a beautiful package. Music by Michael Legrand. Beautiful gatefold record with the words and photos in this super Technicolor. Beautiful package. We're going to hear January 1958 in the store. Here we go.
J'avais tellement peur de ne pas te trouver. Je suis si heureuse d'être avec toi. Maintenant je ris parce que je me rends compte combien je suis bête quand je suis toute seule. J'ai parlé à maman de notre mariage. Elle m'a évidemment traitée de folle. Et puis ce soir, elle m'a interdit de te voir.